Hey, everybody. There are a ton of ways that you can follow us online. We've got our website, realnerdspodcast.com, that you can go to, and you can read articles and find the podcast episodes there as well. If you like social media, you can follow us on Facebook at Real Nerds Podcast or on Twitter and Instagram at Real Nerds. You can also call us anytime and leave a voicemail at 720-6NERDS5, and then we'll play your voicemail on the show. Thanks for listening. I hope you like us.
A real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can
talk through film. I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Awesome. Welcome to Real Nerds. The final interview of Denver Comic Con 2012 is with the incredibly talented Zach Howard.
Hello.
Zach,
we can call you Eisner-nominated Zach Howard, can't
yes,
we?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What book of yours was Eisner-nominated?
The Cape One-Shot was nominated for...
Yeah, first issue.
Oh, wow.
Best single first issue of 2010.
Issue, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, when the Cape is written by... Or the story is by Joe Hill.
Yes.
And the script is by
Jason C. Morella.
Okay, I didn't want.
They work close together too. So,
oh really?
It's not like they're mile. I mean, forever apart and don't
right.
talk.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to make you say it because I didn't want to look like a fool trying to pronounce his name.
Yeah, C. Morella. Yeah.
When you got signed onto that book, was the one shot the only thing they had scripted out, or was
yes.
the whole run already sort of planned?
No. Chris Ryle's a good friend of mine, and I don't know what his title is at IDW right now. CEO, I don't know. Publisher, he jumps around. He's
yeah.
the big fish there. We did Shaun of the Dead together, and we've always been looking for another book to do, but I'm always busy, he's busy, blah, blah, blah. And he asked me if I wanted to work with Joe Hill, and I was like, yeah, I'll do a book. and I had no clue what it was. They sent me the script, and I was like, yeah, I'm on board. I had to take a pay cut, but... good friends, and I wanted to work with Joe Hill, but about three quarters through, everybody knew something special was happening, so they basically decided, you know, let's finish the story, let's see what happens to this character, and they had ideas, and they worked it out. We negotiated a miniseries contract, and there you go.
Cool. I know that they're making a 1969 sort of spinoff after this, but you're not doing the art.
No, I'd already sold my other series that I'm doing, my creator-owned series.
Right.
So I'm doing covers for it.
Oh, okay.
Nelson Daniel, the colorist I work with, he's drawing it. He already has two issues done. They're gorgeous. The story is the origin
of the Cape.
Well, it's his father, and you find out how the Cape became
got to him,
you know, got this power.
Oh, cool. Oh, very cool. So we'll get to Wild Beyonder in a second, but is there any like anything in the pipes that is as far as like a sequel book, anything to follow it up? Because one of the things that I think is really interesting about where we leave, I don't want to spoil it because it's amazing, but we get left with the sort of the a very interesting creation of a superhero that I don't think I've seen before. Where did you see the movie Chronicle?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It has a kind of a similar feel.
That similar ending where I feel like this guy who didn't really want to be a superhero is left with some powers that he could do something interesting, and he has a backstory that, like, is totally different than anybody. Like, his motivation would be different than any other superhero. Is there any work to
honestly,
go anywhere
no.
with
he
that
burned,
character?
He burned the cape. It's gone.
Oh, that's right, he did. Shoot. Crap. Well, we'll cut that question
maybe,
out.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
we'll stitch it together from the ashes.
I don't know.
Dang it.
Superhero
well, maybe
and
he'll
spirit,
have to find another
but,
one. It's still, I was so excited by the end. That, yeah.
It's pretty final, the ending. So,
it is.
Not that I'm aware of. That's why we did the prequel, because that story still needed to be told. Why is the cape, why does it have powers?
That's right. That's right. So, the cover arts for Wild Beyonder is coming out, and that's what, for the next year, you're just going to do cover art pretty much, and then Wild Beyonder comes out.
Just to stay relevant.
I'll
jump around, do different covers, wrap it up Godzilla right now. I will be doing a run on the Judge Dredd covers up until Wild Blue comes out in May next year, and that'll be monthly, and then I'll just be promoting that. And so
tell me about what is Wild Beyonder about. It looked, I mean, it looks like the coolest sort of pulp kind of cover I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
What's it about and who's writing it?
It's Mike Rache is writing it. He is the writer of the Stuff Legend. He's New York Times bestseller, ex-Marvel editor. We did a Marvel book together, and that's how we met years ago. And he pitched me this idea, and we've been developing it. It's basically, best way to describe it is Mad Max was made by Miyazaki. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to describe it, and that's what I was drawn to it. It's the post-apocalyptic. It's in the sky with planes and stuff like that. I made them retrofitted World War II planes because I just wanted to draw World War II planes.
Yeah.
So they're futuristic World War II planes. And but it has a strong young female lead, which I think is missing in most comics. They're usually sluts and punching people. This is actually a real tangible girl, like a Miyazaki
awesome.
Story, where he always has young female heroines, you know, in yeah. in life struggles. And I really wanted to do that. And that's, you know, when Mike pitched it to me, I was like, oh, yeah, that's
that sounds amazing.
Right up my alley.
Really
cool.
Considering that we spent the last 2 days talking to all the people who draw for Buffy, that's exactly
yeah.
where I would want to be. that's so cool.
That. Yeah.
Drawing the art for a book like that must just be amazingly fun.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, I
just
get the,
to be that creative.
Get to draw dog fights and,
yeah.
you know, like a dog with goggles. So it has everything. The two things with dogs that I love.
Yeah. Following up on a book where, spoilers for the cape, you got to drop bears on people.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, a grizzly bear.
That's, you have some of the most fun drawings.
That was the most interesting scene I've ever drawn in comics.
It's one of the most interesting scenes.
I will challenge anybody to come up with a better death scene than that.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You know,
you were signed on at some point to do some work for StarCraft on a StarCraft
yes.
book. I would like to just know, like, you know, what was the story on that? What was it going to be? And where did it? What did it turn into?
Well,
just because I'm a huge StarCraft fan. So.
Yeah, StarCraft II, the video game, was close to release, and Wildstorm contacted me about doing a 100-page hardback, just graphic novel of StarCraft.
Oh.
Original story, everything, with some female ghost or something, a new ghost or something. I guess you might know. I don't know it very well. Correct me if I embarrass myself.
No, you're right.
But, so I signed on. I'm like, sure, that's perfect. I want to do a beginning, middle, end stories. I don't like monthlies, and
right.
I just can't get into it. Said yes. I did that pinup just kind of for promo art for Blizzard or whatever and Wildstorm. And it, like 3 months later, they still had no contract for me. And at the time, I think DC was deciding what to do with Wildstorm. Like, are they absorbing it? Is it going to be a separate company? And that's why the contract took a while. They're good people. It's just I had to move on. I got bills to pay. And eventually, I think it happened because...
It did.
Okay.
I have the issues.
Oh, okay.
Because as soon as you started describing it, I was like, oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But, I mean, I had to sign on to something else.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I did. Probably something for Marvel. I don't know. Yeah, that's what happened. No bad blood or anything, or
oh, no
drama. It just I think Wildstorm was in a upheaval at the time, and they couldn't get the contract to me fast enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and it's a shame because the art that you have put out for that, the little bits that I've seen, it was amazing. Like,
well, thank you.
Just even to compare it to like the concept art that they do for the game, it was like what I dream that a movie would look like. It was
well.
Beautiful.
I apologize.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no. Yeah, thanks for crushing my dreams, Zach. It was so good.
Comic books are really fluid.
Yeah.
And I'm a freelance guy, so you got it, if you don't get me a contract, I got to move on.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
No bad blood. You know, it's business.
Oh, absolutely.
So I apologize.
How long have you been into comics? Was it since you were a kid?
Oh, of course. My dad was military brat, grew up all around the world, so. I just had like D&D books and comic books, and I used to buy those little grab bag comic books where you didn't know what was in it from like Marvel's, like three comics, and it'd be like X-Men, Spider-Man, and like Captain, you know, Fart Man or Turd Face or something like that.
It'd always be some random one.
Yeah,
they
some
didn't
super
care about.
Crap they're trying to promote, you know, the like Dazzler's Friend or something like that. You know,
Sparkles.
Sparkles. There we go. Glitter. Anyways, so I'd buy those, and you know, fool around. So, yeah, since I was a kid, I didn't get serious about it till I was 25, though, or about 24.
And that's, so, you mean as far as reading it or until, or starting to do the art?
Get in the industry, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but you were drawing before that.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Well, like any kid does.
Yeah. You didn't just jump in and be amazing from the beginning.
I was like, wow, you just started trying when you were 25?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, that's when I started trying. Like, I was a potter at the time, and yeah, I made a decision I was going to try and get into comics, so I picked up the pencil again, and 2 years later, 2.5 years later, I was drawing Hellboy. So.
Oh, wow.
So we're really jealous of you because you're incredibly talented artistically is what you're saying to us.
It's not magic, man. It's just determination.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You got to put the calories in. You got to be focused.
Yeah.
You know, set your ego aside, know what you got to do, what you suck at, and make your weaknesses your strength.
Absolutely.
Sounds like hyperbole, but anyone can do it. I promise you, you know.
I was going to ask you about D&D, but now I have to ask you, you were a potter?
Yeah, for 5 years.
How'd you get into potting?
When I got out of the Marines, I was going to college, I wanted to take art and drawing and painting, and I signed up late, so all that was left in art was ceramics. So I'm like, whatever, I'll take ceramics, and I'll make some pinch pots or some crap, and I don't even smoke, I'll just make ashtrays for other people or something. But so I did it and ended up falling in love with it, and became very successful at it and made a lot of money in college at it. Paid for a car, for my future wife's apartment, everything like that.
Wow.
But during my thesis year, I had to take either watercolor or illustration, my final, semester to get my degree. And I was like, I've done watercolor before. I'll take illustration. And, I always loved comic books and always fooled around. You know, I had fantasies when I was a teenager, be a comic book artist. And, my professor had drawn a couple issues or an issue or something of like Aliens or Aliens vs. Predator. And he saw all the stuff I was doing in class and asked if I'd come to a con with him. And I could sit at his table or whatever and show my stuff. And I got just the little crap I'd done for the class. I got a good response. So I asked at the time as my girlfriend, but we're moving in together, going to get married. It's like, is it cool if I try this, try to do this?
Yeah.
And I have a very good wife. And for 2.5 years, I made, like, nothing, but then, boom, suddenly it happened.
Is he how you got into Aliens?
No, nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Nothing to do with
just
it.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah. So,
cool. What kind of D&D were you playing? Were you playing Thwacko?
I have no
advanced,
clue.
Advanced Dungeons & Dragons?
Probably not. I was pretty young. I'm very, very... subpar intelligence, so
I don't trust that.
I don't even know if we're playing it right. I don't even remember. But we had a lot of fun.
good. That's what it's all about. What's the stuff you're reading right now? What top of your stack? When you can.
It honestly, I usually just get comps now, so I read whatever's given to me, and every once in a while at a con, if I hear about something or buddies doing a kick-ass book, I'll pick it up. But I'd say American Vampire's best book out right now, Schneider, and Albuquerque's good, and Sean's run was wonderful on it, so
I
got to see him
you're...
while he was doing it and everything like that, so that was cool. I just reread Preacher.
I'm right on the edge of doing that myself.
Oh, you have to. It's been since it finished. I haven't read it again.
Oh, really?
And it was always my favorite series, and now that I'm a professional, like a veteran storyteller, I get to really see the nuts and bolts of it. It's been really fun. I respect it in a whole new way, and I'm rereading Gru, all the Gru from the beginning.
Ooh,
on.
Wow.
It's one of my all-time favorite series. Basically, Gru and Preacher. It's pretty pathetic. I have no clue what's going on. I'm sure half the characters are gay now. I don't know. I seldom read superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, I quit drawing superhero stuff for a reason, But any indie crap that my wife picks up or whatever. But for new stuff, I'd say American Vampire, anything Sean's doing, Sean Murphy, probably say. People don't know.
People don't know you're at the booth right next to him, yeah.
Yeah. We've been buddies. We were good friends before we were both even pros.
Oh, wow.
he came to me for a portfolio review, and I wasn't even a pro, you know. I was like, and we just would see each other at every con, and we'd start going to the parties and going to cons together, and we just became friends. Next thing you know, we're working at Vertigo together, doing the same book, and all that stuff. So, and then we did a series together, and you know, so it's been fun. Wild Ride. He stayed with DC, and I left DC and did the indie thing.
Yeah.
So.
And his art is just as
he's
amazing as it can be.
He's the best there is.
Well, before we let you go, you're a local guy.
Yes.
So I have to ask you, how has this con been, and how excited are you for us to have something like this?
I was worried. Couldn't have been better. Best first con I've ever been to in any city, much less Denver. Couldn't be happier. Yeah. 15-20 minute drive, and I'm at a decent mid-level, very decent, a good con, and people are eager, excited, everybody's in a good mood, pretty good organized already, and it's the first year.
Yeah,
hasn't been a cluster F, and which I was expecting.
Yeah,
just a good vibe. I loved it. Cool. Couldn't have been better. Could not have been better.
All right. Well, thank you so much for driving
by,
Zach.
Yes, sorry.
I am sure we will see you next
Normally, I have a lot of dick jokes, but it's the end of the day. I'm a little tired. I sound like a rock star now.
It's okay. It'll just make you sound really
dick
impressive.
Joke. Insert a dick joke. Just pretend I said some.
It's too hard for him to think of a dick joke right now.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, that's too hard.
There we go.
Thank you, Zach.
Zing.
Thanks, Zach. I appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!